Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
God bless all of you. Can you hear me? I'm sorry, I need to turn on the microphone. Can you hear me now? Okay. Great worship today. And the presence of God is awesome in this place. Amen. This month, I'd like to encourage brother and sister to bless the worship team. Do you know that the worship team has been serving us without pay for all these years? You know, a lot of people drive and come here a long way to practice music, on practice the worship on Thursday, many times a month. And they come up to bless you. And I heard from the worship team that they need more new equipment to bless all of us. So they are not asking for money from themselves, but they would like to have more money to buy the equipment. So if you, God put the burden in your heart, I'd like to encourage you. You know, some of you really are, many of you are givers here, very generous givers. And I'd like to encourage all of you to give special offering to the worship team, and you can put in the box there to say for the worship team $1,000, $2,000, whatever, and they will put that money to buy equipment to bless. You know, they, many churches, you have to hire worship team, the whole team, very expensive. When I went to another city, big church, the whole team was hired by the church, but these people serving us for free of charge, you know, they are volunteering that time. So I think we need to bless them with good equipment so that they will enjoy the ministry. How many people agree with me that we should bless the worship team? Amen. So today or this month, if God bless you, you know, you just write a check, put in that box, say, I want to bless the worship team. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Before I preach the word of God, I'd like to share with you quickly. A few days ago, somebody asked Pastor Da this simple question. And this morning when I woke up, God spoke to me again with the same question and same answer. The question come to Pastor Da, we believe in Jesus and we become a Christian. What is next? What is next after we become a Christian? And the answer is very simple. You know, many Christians don't have any goal in their life. They just get saved. They go to church week by week, but they never have any goal. But it actually, it's not just only getting saved. It's not only to become a Christian. It's more than that. The Bible says like this, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So I believe that God wants all the Christians to have this goal, two goals in your life. Number one, to love your God with all your heart. You need to grow in your love for God. And you need to set the goal that you become more and more like Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage all the believers in this room, that you just don't sit idly laying back and say, I'm fine now. I am a Christian. I am saved. I can go to heaven. My sins are forgiven. You should set the goal that all the days of my life, you know, the only thing you're going to take with you to heaven, besides souls, besides the saved people that you bring to Christ, is your character. Is your character. So I want to really encourage you to set the goal. God, I will not be settled down until I become like Christ. It's a kind of running the race, reaching out to the goal, to the finish line. And our finish line is to become like Christ. Amen. You may think that every Sunday I come up and preach the word of God up here is my job, is to present the word of God to the chief. Actually, I will tell you the truth. The person who get ministered to the most is me, not you. Amen. You may think that, oh, he has a job to preach the word. No, me, I preach to myself. I am the one Every time I prepare the sermon or the lesson, I'm the one who get convicted in my heart the most. I'm the one who say, God, I'm still far away from your perfection. I still have a long way to go. I need to change. I need to become a new person. God, deal with me. Change me. Touch me. Revive me. Refresh me. Transform me. I want to become like Christ. Amen. This morning I woke up, God told me that many Christians never have any goal, never have any plan. They just live day by day. If their kids are naughty, that themselves just live day by day. They never want to grow. That's why they never go anywhere. And that's very heartbroken to God. God wants all of us to move from glory to glory to glory. That is the first thing you need to do as a Christian. Let's say at the same time, I want to become like Christ. I want to grow from glory to glory to glory. The second one is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. What does it mean? It means that God used you to be a vessel to bring the love of God to other people. And the second goal we should have in our life, not just to get saved, not just to sit in the church, but our goal is to love people into the kingdom of God. Is to just bring people into the kingdom, is to tell people about the love of Jesus. Love them. Amen. Last Thursday, I saw a patient who came in with a significant headache. All the neurologists could not help her. She really had headache for 10 years. I just extended my love to her. Not only that, she lost her job. So I said this, okay, call this sister. God can heal you. Okay, I gave her a phone number of one of our sisters in the church, and I gave another 3 names that she can find a job. Contact our members here. Maybe you can find a job. I tried to extend the love to this patient of mine. Then an hour later, I met another patient, a young man. He promised me that he will come to church next Sunday. This young man, he got hurt and had back pain and no medicine, nothing. The x-ray all negative. I said, you need God. Come to church. You're going to get healed. I love him. I want him to be healed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Tomorrow I'm going to go to my office and write an invitation letter to one of my patients who has big influence for Microsoft. And I'm going to invite her to come to the Mother Day. I want to see people come to know God. Amen. Amen. And we should always think about how can I show love to people so that they will come to know God. I want to tell you this. The best gift, the best thing you can show love to people is to bring people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because once people have a relationship with Jesus Christ, everything else will come into places. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, because I have these 2 goals, I want to grow to become like Christ. I want to love my neighbors. I want to love people and bring them into the kingdom of God. That's why I believe in what Jesus said. He said like this, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. My primary job is not a neurosurgeon. My primary job is to grow and to bring people to Christ. My neurosurgery practice is just a sideline job. But God take care of my sideline job. When I seek the kingdom of God first, God will take care of my business. God will take care of my needs. Because my goal to run the race is to become more like Christ and to get people saved as much as I can to make disciples. But the rest God will take care. And I tell you, in the past, how many years now in my office? I've been working there since 1993. In the past 12 years, that is my witness. God has been taking care of my business and my job. Amen. Amen. Right now, my surgery is scheduled full until early of June. 5 weeks ahead. Amen. Because God take care of me. Now my patient call me and say, can I have surgery on some night? Because I don't want to wait until June. God really pour the blessing into me. Pour the business into me, the work into me, because I live my life for the kingdom of God first. I wake up thinking about God. I wake up thinking about the church. Amen. I just want to encourage all of you. It's not just about getting saved, but it's about becoming like Christ. It's about changing from glory to glory. It's about being a vessel to bring more people in, loving people into the kingdom of God, and seek the kingdom of God first. Amen. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's say with me. My Father in heaven, I open my heart to receive your word. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. May your word come into my spirit and build my faith. Touch me, Lord. I am hungry. I am hungry for your word. I'm thirsty for your water. May the rivers of God flow from the throne of heaven and fill my life. And I will never be the same. Never, never, never be the same. After I receive your holy word today, I will be changed from glory to glory to become like Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Are you ready for the word of God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Last Sunday we learned about self-control. And if I want to let you know that lately we pay a lot of attention to make CD series out for you to listen in the car, for you to listen at home while you're taking a shower, while you're brushing your teeth, while you are going to bed, whatever, you can listen to the teaching again and again. I have learned one thing is that I taught the lesson on last Tuesday about love. And it's interesting. I read that lesson fifth times, the fifth time before Tuesday, and it dawned on me that afternoon that I just know this word only in my head, but I haven't practiced it. So can you imagine even a pastor like me, it took me five times for the word to really get into me. How many times that you need to listen to the word of God until the word of God really gets into you. Therefore, we produce CDs. Right now, we produce in English. Get the CD. Listen. It's so cheap here. Cheaper than, what is the coffee? Starbucks coffee. Starbucks coffee, you drive in, you pay $2.50. This is only $2. Amen. Huh?
$1 today.
Today you have a special deal. Amen. Only $1. Cheaper than Starbucks coffee. But much more effective, much more beneficial for you than coffee. Amen. Not only that, we produce also CD in Thai. Lots of them. And right now, people in Thailand listen to our CD a lot. And Thai people in this church, please take advantage of this CD. Now we're going to start to produce CD in Japanese. I'm going to speak in Japanese. No, I'm kidding. People will break the CD right away. Couldn't understand me. We're going to produce in Japanese. And Chicano is going to help me translate into Japanese. Not only that, we're going to produce in Mandarin, in Cantonese. We're going to produce in many languages to fill the whole world with the Word of God. Amen. I'm busy. You know, on Friday night, I was recording until 11 p.m. at night. I just called one couple, come to my home right now. Say, okay, what? Come right now. I want to record. You just sit here as my audience. I'm going to preach to you right now. So the couple came until 11 o'clock. So anyone want to come to my house to hear me, come anytime. I'm going to preach to you. Have a record. Amen. Last Sunday, we learned about many things in our life is out of control. We're going to be in trouble. Health is in trouble. Relationship is in trouble. Amen. Job is in trouble. Anything can be, financially can be in trouble. If you don't control, if you don't put yourself under the control of God. And last Sunday we talked about control your tongue. The Bible said that if you can control your body, your tongue, you can control your whole body. And if you want to hear that message, you go back and get the CD from last Sunday. We learned that we want to control our tongue in four areas, and we talked only one last Sunday. What we say last Sunday is that we think before we speak. We think, T-H-I-N-K. What we think before we speak is that we think what is truthful, what is helpful, H. What is inspirational I? What is necessary N? And what is kind K? Think. Amen. So I hope that you begin to practice already in the past 1 week, that you think before you speak. Now we're going to talk about the last three, about how to control your tongue. Number two, always speak the truth. Always speak the truth. Everyone say, speak the truth. How many people agree with me that when I say like this, you will say, amen. I say this, honesty is the best policy. Amen. 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 How many people agree that honesty is the best policy? That's what I try to do in the church, to my wife, to my patients. I will tell my patients exactly what they should hear. I'm not going to lie to them. I'm not going to play game. I'm not going to try to deceive them into surgery. I tell them the truth. Honesty is the best policy. But in real life, in the real situation of your life, what happened is that when you face a situation, when you come into certain circumstances, you feel this way in your heart. It is necessary to shed some truth. It is necessary to hide some truth. It seems honesty is not seemingly becoming a best policy at this point. How many people do that sometime or all the time? You shed some truth. You kind of hide the truth a little bit so that you can avoid conflicts. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10 verse 10, someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 10. If you hold back the truth, you're going to cause trouble. You know why people hold back the truth? Why people hold back the truth? Because of fear. Fear is again faith. If you have faith, you will not walk in fear. Fear is against love. But the Bible says, love will cast out all fear. When you walk in love and walk in faith, you will not fear to speak the truth. And why? What you are fearful about? The reason people don't want to speak the truth because they are fearful of conflict. They don't want conflict. I know every one of us are like that here. Is that right? Every one of us doesn't want conflict. Especially me with Da. I don't want conflict with Da because I want my wife to be happy. I don't want my wife to be upset with me. Amen. Otherwise I will sleep on the couch at night. Amen. So all of us are cowards in certain area, and one of the areas is conflict. I remember when I first got married with Da many years ago, we became new wedded. And I tell you, sometimes I did something, but I know it's wrong, so I came home and didn't tell her. Because I don't want her to be upset with me. I don't want any conflict. But I find out later on that as I hid the truth from her and I lied to her, the problems grew bigger. And later on, the blowout will be even greater. The explosion, instead of just one bullet, gonna be atomic bomb in my house. Because the problem get bigger if I lie. How many people know that if you lie, you're gonna have the domino effect? You have to lie again in order to hide yourself. But what happened? Eventually, you don't remember what you lie about. And now you don't know what to say. Is that right? So that's why when people are not walking in the truth or speaking the truth, they do two things. They hide and they hurl. H-U-R-L, hurl. What does it mean? You hide yourself from the truth. You hide yourself from the feeling, the real feeling you have. I'm fine, I'm okay. You know, for example, if someone offends you in a church and you walk to that person and actually you know in your heart that you are mad. And you say, I'm okay. You hide it. You hide yourself behind your feeling. And you know what happened? You cause what? Superficial relationship. You cause the isolation instead of intimacy and close friendship. You cause superficiality, the superficial relationship. Some people hide themselves behind their excuses. Amen. People like to, don't, instead of admitting the truth, oh, I do this, I do that, because of this. They hide themselves behind excuses. Another thing that people do beside hiding, they're hurling, throwing the bomb. They begin to accuse and blame other people. Instead of admitting the real reality, the truth, you begin to throw the bomb. Shoot the bullet. Fire the rocket toward another person. You don't do this. You always do this. You begin to point finger. You begin to hurl and attack another person. You begin to blame. You know, I know that it's so hard sometimes to speak the truth. Because sometimes when you speak the truth, you face conflict. You face tension. And sometimes people yell at you. Sometimes you even lose your job. Sometimes you even lose something in your life. And you say, it's not worth it to speak the truth. I'd rather hide everything. But my dear brother and sister, don't do it. Be honest. Because dishonesty will destroy relationship. Either sooner or later. Dishonesty will cause many, many domino effect. Fear, mistrust, bitterness, superficial relationship, false peace. I don't want false peace. I want real peace. So please speak the truth in love. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24 verse 26, an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. If you really want to become a true friend with somebody, you speak the truth. You don't lie. Because if you want to build true friendship, you need to speak honestly, truthfully. Amen? Amen. Dishonesty is a sign of lack of love. If you lie to people, it means you don't love them. You deceive them. You trick them. You make them go astray. You make them go out of the right way. If you really love somebody, you speak the truth in love. Don't become dishonest. Amen. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 23. In the end, people appreciate frankness more than flattery. People appreciate frankness. It's painful. I remember one time in around 1994, my senior doctor, he is the one who gave me a job in Bellevue. His name is Dr. Pickettley. I just met him a few days ago. Now he worked for University of Washington. One day he called me into his room. And I thought, I might be in trouble today. He said, Dr. Lau, I need something to talk to you. I said, what? I want to tell you the truth. I hope you don't get mad at me. What? He said that you have bad odor. You need to take care of your mouth. You know, I feel so embarrassed. My face is red. And I don't know how to respond to him. But one thing I know is that I called dentist right away. And I find out that because I was in residency training for seven and a half years, I never had time to go to the dentist for 7.5 years because working day and night, day and night. So I have a lot of problem in my gum and my teeth and I didn't know. But this man loved me enough to tell me that I have problem with my mouth and my teeth. And then I went to the dentist, we found gum problem, we have to do surgery and fix it. And since then, I have my teeth cleaned 4 times a year and use dental floss every day, brush my teeth 20 times a day. Because I don't want to have bad odor anymore. Amen. Amen. Thank God for His frankness. Because it benefits me. Yeah. So I thank God that sometime when I walk down from here, some brother and sister love me enough to correct my pronunciation. And say, you say something wrong instead of laughing at me, but correcting me, help me. You speak to me truthfully that you say something wrong in English. Help me. Amen. English is not my mother tongue language. So don't use flattery, but speak the truth. Be honest. If you don't deal with the truth now, if you to try to lie all the time, go around the bush and speak dishonestly all the time, I tell you, you either You're gonna deal with it later on. The problem gonna be bigger, bigger and bigger. You are actually, if you lie, I want to tell you, you are postponing inevitable crisis. You are postponing the crisis in your life. So, I want to encourage you that take the risk of being honest. It's risky. But it's risky. But you will be receive the benefit later on. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people agree with me that speaking the truth is risky? Because you may face conflicts and difficulty in relationship, but it will build what? True friendship. I have learned something that I believe you agree with me. Conflict, in fact, produce deeper intimacy. When you have conflict with somebody and you sit down and deal with it lovingly, talk, resolve, talk, talk, talk until it's resolved, at the end, the relationship between you and that person will be even become more closer. You trust that person even more. Yeah, how many people agree with me? Amen. This happened in this church all the time. You know, sometimes people have conflict with me and we sit down and talk and talk and talk. At the end, out of that conflict, I even fall in love with that person even more. I really appreciate that person's friendship even more. All the wall is broken down. How many people agree? My dear brother and sister, we don't want to produce pseudo. You know what pseudo mean? How many people understand the word pseudo? Pseudo mean false. Pseudo family. We don't want to produce pseudo community, false community. What is false community? What is false family? Hi, how are you? Fine. Okay. Your job is doing okay? Yes, fine. Everything is so superficial. Some husband and wife are like that. They're so superficial to each other. They never go deep into the real deal. They never really have intimacy. Because when they come home, husband just, fine, I'm okay, you know. Then the husband never share the truth. The wife also hide the truth. The same thing, we don't want to have pseudo church. It's like a social club. People come in, dress nice. Hi, how are you? Good, I'm fine. Hug. But you never really speak the truth to each other. Everything is fine. If you get mad at somebody, fine. I am not building a pseudo church. I'm not building a pseudo community, superficial relationship. We're gonna deal with the gut issues in this church. If we have problem, we're gonna talk it out. We're gonna deal with it. We're gonna resolve the conflict and we're gonna become a God community. Amen. The community of God. We're gonna build the real stuff that will last to the end. We don't want just to be a football stadium, come in and watch football, sit there, watch some entertainment on the stage here, and everyone walk out and no one know each other. In this church, we're gonna cry together. We're gonna laugh together. We're gonna be real to each other. We're gonna be honest to each other. Amen? Amen. And I have the intention to do that. We want the real family here. Not just entertainment show like Broadway. Come here just to hear something and everyone go home. And no one knows about anything. We just all put on the surface and say, hi, how are you? Good. Santi Pao Yo Ni. Ni Hao. Se Xia. That's it. And shake hand. You don't understand Chinese. It means how are you? Ni Hao. Ni Hao Ma. That's it. We want real stuff. We want to talk. We want to have real relationship here. Amen. We sit down and face to face and talk about it. Instead of having superficial relationship. Discussing the issue. I know it's scary. But that is the heart of God. God doesn't want superficial thing. If God wants superficial thing, He will come from heaven as in the form of Jesus and say, hi, I love you, bye bye. And lift up in heaven. And just go up to heaven. But no, Jesus came into the world in the stable. He grew up. He hang out with the disciples. He ate with them. He discussed with them. They have conflict with him. He said, this is the people of a very the weak faith generation, he rebuked them, he deal with them, they talk, they have relationship. And if he wants superficial relationship, why he died on the cross? Is that right?
Right.
It's serious. You need to understand that the church is so precious in the eyes of God. The church is so precious, so valuable. It's worth, the worth of the church equal to the blood of Jesus Christ, the life of the Son of God. That's why I take the church so seriously. I take care of you as a pastor. I treat you like a $2 million antique waste on a table. Oh, don't fall down. Ooh. You know, each of you. Even people who already, some of them left the church, I still love them. Actually, it's interesting. This morning I woke up and I prayed for one man that has gone to be with another church. But thank God he showed up today. But I don't want to mention the name. But he is here in this room right now. God even put his name and his face on my eyes because I love these people. These people are precious in the eyes of God. We need to treat each other with courtesy, with love, with gentleness. Every time you yell at somebody in the church, you are yelling to Jesus. You're yelling to the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, not valuable to me. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to abuse, I'm going to trample on the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people agree that we need to really speak the truth to one another? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Dr. O'Brien, I see you. You can wait until 11:30.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, number three, speak the truth in love. Not only speak the truth. Some people say like this. You know, I want to be candor. I just want to be frank. So I'm going to say whatever it is. No. Actually, people who say that I want to be frank and I want to say whatever it is, normally they say whatever they think, not it is. It's that just their own perspective. And their perspective can be wrong. Amen. So the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12 verse 18, thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal. You want to stab people or you want to heal people? You want to cut people's throat off or you want to heal people? I hope that you are not a murderer. I hope not that you are a killer. Some people don't pull guns and knife to kill people. They use their word. They use their tongue. Put the tongue out. Just soup. And people die. Just use their tongue. Come out like a sword and just cut people with that thoughtless word. Be careful. Think every time you speak. Speak the truth and speak with the tone and the way of love. Amen. You know that every time you speak something, you have an option. An option to build up or tear down. An option to hurt or to heal. An option to encourage or discourage. An option to lift people up or to pull people down. You always have a choice. Make a choice to heal, to build, to lift people up all the days of your life. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 8 to 18 say, some people like to make cutting remarks. Cutting remark. You understand what I mean? Just make people feel bad. Make people feel like you make such a big mistake. Make a cutting remark. But the words of the wise soothe and heal. Maybe some typo there. Oh, good. Thank you. Soothe and heal. So, you will not be persuasive if you are abrasive. Amen. You need to be loving. You need to speak the word with love. Amen. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 4. Gentle words cost life and health. I want my wife to live a long life. That's why I'm very careful to speak to her gently and lovingly all the time. Amen. I need to control myself not to say something to hurt her feeling. You know, every time you speak hurt people, you try to reduce the length of their life, the lifetime of their life. You kill them. You're killing them. You make them sick. Stomach ache, peptic ulcer, wound ulcer, and you know, people really get into trouble because of the word. So heal people, bless people. A few years ago at Harborview Hospital, a young Vietnamese American man, maybe about 26 years old, got into a car accident. He was comatose, meaning he was unconscious. And he was like this, unconscious. All the doctors, I remember all the resident and the attending doctors, the neurosurgeon came in and said, this man may die. Let him go. Let him die. He's too young to be like this in the nursing home for another 30 years. I never forgot. One day I walked into that room by myself. And his relative was standing there. And I spoke to him, even though he was comatose. I said, man, you're going to wake up and you're going to be fine. I spoke health to him. And you know what happened? 2 days later, he woke up. And he was walking. He went to the rehab and he was normal. This is a true story. This is a true story. I was a resident, a doctor resident at Harborview Hospital. So every patient who walk into my office, they ask me, how am I going to be? I believe you're going to be fine. And that's why I have better result than most surgeons in Seattle. Because of the speech. Because I say positive things. I speak health to people. I don't speak something bad to people. You're going to be fine. Amen. Amen. Speak the word in love. Don't hurt people, but heal people. Don't hurt your wife. Amen. You may say that she deserves it. She deserves that knife. You may say like that. But you deserve a bigger knife. What do you call that kind of knife? Big knife that you chop? Huh? Okay. Cleaver? Cleaver. She need a small pocket knife. But you need a cleaver. What I try to say is that no man is perfect. No one is perfect. You think that she deserves to be yelled at. You deserve to be yelled at even more because you are not perfect either. So you keep fighting each other with your words. Amen. Heal her. Don't heal your friend. Heal your co-workers. Heal your kids. Don't say something negative toward them. My dear brother and sister, people need a turning point of their life. They need to be healed. They need to come up. They need to rise up. They need to go over the problem and have victory. And your word can be that lifting, not up to ski, but lifting them up, not to ski, but to the victory. Amen. You are the lifter. You are the encourager. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, a word of encouragement does wonders. How many people want wonders, signs and wonders? Use the word of encouragement. Amen. I want to give you a homework. 10 years from now, every single day, speak encouraging word to every person that come into your life. Amen. Be an encourager, not discourager. I want to tell you one fact here. Any fool can be negative. It takes no brains at all to be a critic. You never see anybody build a monument for a person who criticized somebody else. But the monument was built for somebody who has been criticized by somebody else. But the critics never have a monument. It takes no energy. It takes no brain to be a critic and criticize and attack people. That's why I don't like those kind of books and the website that attack all these ministers, the website that attack You know, all these evangelists, you know, it takes no brain to attack these people. But it takes character. It takes power. It takes godly character to be an encourager, to build people up, to say, brother, keep doing good work. You okay? God running the race. God gonna give you rewards in heaven. Keep running. Amen. Amen. 2 days ago, I wrote a check to a minister, give him a blessing. And I wrote a short note saying, keep on going. You're doing a good job. Keep on going. I loved you. My dad and I loved you. Amen. We need to encourage people. Anybody in the world can swear. Anybody in this world can criticize. Anybody, even you can teach a parrot to criticize. Parrot come, you can teach parrot. Ball head, ball head, ball head. And when the person come in, ball head, ball head, ball head. Is that right? You can even teach the parrot to criticize. Anything. But it takes. Everyone say, it takes. The power of God. And the godly character. To be an encourager. To speak positively. So be positive in whatever you say. Speak the truth in love. The tone of voice. Everything. Last one. Ask Christ for help every single day. Ask the Holy Spirit. Look at King David's prayer. Look at King David's prayer. Psalm 141 verse 3. Set a guard over my mouth. O Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. He prayed. God, shut my mouth. Lord, watch my lips. Help me. So you should pray every day. God, muzzle my words. Watch my mouth. Not to say wrong thing. Amen. We should really depend on the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason why I love revival. You know, the reason I never want to quit the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, even though sometimes people get scared to see the manifestation of God, of the Holy Spirit in the church. Because I notice that the more you get touched by the Holy Spirit, you become more spiritual and you become less and less carnal and you will be guarding your mouth more. Because you learn how to yield. You learn how to surrender to the Holy Spirit in revival time. Yesterday, actually, we have an awesome prayer meeting. We have about 30 people. I tell you, I want to have that prayer meeting every month now. It's so awesome. The presence of God came so strong. And people get touched by God at the end. It's so awesome. Because if you learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit in revival meeting, you will learn how to yield your mouth to the Spirit of God on a daily life. You will practice, exercise, learn how to yield, that you will not say something wrong all the time. You cannot control your mouth by your own power. It's impossible. I want to tell you right now, you cannot control your mouth by your own power. Why? It's impossible. Because the reason is this. You cannot control it because the real problem is not the mouth. The real problem is the heart. Your mouth speak what is in your heart. Amen? Amen. So, people say like this all the time, you know, I'm so ashamed of what I say. It's not like me. Something come over me and say that. I tell you, no, it's you. Don't blame the demons. Don't blame the devil. It's you. You speak from your heart. Whatever you say come from your heart. It's you that speak that. Amen. Amen. So don't blame somebody else. Sometimes people blame pastor, blame government, blame president, blame anyone else, blame pastor, even blame God. But actually it's you yourself, you choose that way. My dear brother and sister, the heart, your mouth is a displayer of your heart. Your mouth is a revealer of your soul. Your mouth is the window of your spirit. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 15 verse 18, what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. Amen? Amen. If you have an angry heart, you will have harsh words. If you have a fearful heart, you will have a doubtful words. Oh, I'm sick. I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be sick forever. Sick, 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 sick. I'll never get healed. Sick, 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 sick. I'm poor, 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 poor. No faith. Is that right? If you have an unsettled heart, you will have overactive mouth. If you have an impure heart, you're going to have a foul mouth. Speak. If you have a hell, H-E-L-L, heart, you have the hell mouth. Somebody open their mouth, I feel like hell. Amen. If you have an insecure heart, you have a boastful mouth. You know why insecure people like to boast? Because you are so, they're so insecure inside them that they want to act like, you see, I have something to show. So I need to speak something. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I will tell you one thing. God told me to be humble and said you don't need to act like a big shot in this church. Because being a big shot or not is not about you, because it's about the appointment of God, the anointing.
Amen.
I don't need to act like a big shot. I just walk around, look like just a regular member. I don't need to act like a leader, act like, you know that I'm a pastor. Huh? If I say like that, I am insecure in my heart that I have to tell people who I am. I don't need to tell people who I am because I have security in my heart. I know who I am in Christ. And God, people are going to find out later on anyway.
Amen.
You don't need to speak the boastful word. But people with a happy heart, like my wife, she speaks encouraging words.
Amen.
Amen. People who have a loving, tender heart will speak a gentle word. People with a peaceful heart will speak with a controlled word. People with the faith, with the heart of faith, will speak the word of faith all the time. Amen.
Amen.
I listened to a story about a well in a village. How many people want to hear the story? This is a very good story. I share like this many times in this church. There is a village. That is a well that all the villagers depend on the water in that well to drink and to use. One day the water in the well became smelly and very dirty and very impure. What happened? The first reaction people say, let's go to get the teacher from the school. And the teacher come in with a big stick and use the stick to hit the well. 1, 2, 3, 4, you must do this, you must do that, you must do this in order to have a clear water, clean water. After he did that, the water came out still dirty, smelly, and impure. Then he called a monk or a priest to come. So the priest come and sit down and began to meditate. La 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 la, and start to do religious thing. And after he finished that, the water come out still impure. Then they get a painter. The painter come by to paint the well. The pump, everything paint into white color. After that, the water still impure. Then they get a plumber. A plumber climb the ladder down to the well and find 10 dead rats. So he pull one rat, 2, 3, 4, 5, until all the dead rats are gone. 3 weeks later, the water became pure and usable again. What does it mean in this story? The problem, the well is like your heart. Education will not make your heart right. Actually, the more smart people are, the more they know how to cheat. Dressing nice, white color, white paint outside is not going to change your heart. Religion, come and give you the law, 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 will not change your heart. The only person that can change your heart is that plumber, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is a great plumber. Do you know that my specialty is neurosurgery? I cannot give a new brain. I only cut the brain off. I studied in medicine for 20 years after high school, but I cannot even give a new brain yet. I can only cut the brain off. But Jesus' specialty is to give a new heart.
Amen.
Jesus is like a plumber. He needs to go inside you. That's why if you listen, you sit in this church for 10 years, never invite Jesus Christ into your life, you will never change. Because you only hear the word as a religious teaching. The only answer is that, Jesus, my heart is full of dead rats, dead animals, impurity, doubt, and insecurity, selfishness, pride. I need you to come in to pull that out and give me a new heart.
Amen.
Jesus is the answer to the world. Jesus is the answer to you personally, because he's going to give you a new heart. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 31, rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. You remember King David say what? Created in me, Holy Spirit, a new heart. My dear brother and sister, you need relationship with God. You need to invite Jesus to be your God and let him dwell on the inside of you. Education will not help you to become a godly man, a righteous man. Money will not help you. Nice home, nice painting on outside will not help you. Religion will not help you. The real answer is relationship of with Jesus Christ on the inside of your life. And let him begin the job of cleaning. And giving you a new heart. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Last night I talked to Pastor Da that there are some family have incest, you know, the dad raped their own daughter and all this stuff. And I was thinking in my heart, wow. I cannot do that. I mean, my heart is new. I cannot even think something like that. God give me a new heart that I cannot even think about sin. Cannot even think about revenging and killing people anymore. God give us a new heart. The answer is not religion. The answer is the relationship with Christ. Amen. James chapter 1 verse 26. Anyone who say he is a Christian but does not control his sharp tongue is just fooling himself, and his religion isn't worth much. My dear brother and sister, God look at your mouth and he can say that you are spiritual or not. Amen. Your mouth will reveal the inside of your heart. How much God reigns in your life. If your mouth is full of rubbish, full of garbage, your heart is full of garbage. It means that you haven't yielded your heart. You maybe give Jesus only part of your heart, but you don't give the whole heart to him to control you. That's why I love revival. Because in revival, you come to the front or you come and say, God, come and... You know, revival is not just about falling laughter and shaking. Revival is this, the change of the heart. God, Holy Spirit, the fire of God, come and deal with me. Cleanse me on the inside. Touch me. I'm hungry to be changed. I want to be a new man. I want to be a new woman. Come and change me. A lot of people misunderstand a revival is about shaking, falling, laughter, and manifestation. No, it's about the change of the heart.
Amen.
It's about repentance. It's about God, come and deal on the inside of me by your Spirit. Amen. Don't have misunderstanding about revival. You know, sometimes we watch TV and see manifestation by evangelists. You think, oh, that's all about. No, no, it's more deeper than just falling down. It's about the change of the heart inside you. So every time you come out to be prayed for, every time you say, God, come and touch me. What you try to say to God, God, I am a man of an unclean heart. Come and deal and take away some unclean heart and change me from the inside.
Amen.
Deal with me little by little. Amen.
Amen.
Self-control doesn't mean you in control. If you control yourself, you say like this, I'm the big boss, I call the shot, I can tell, I can do whatever I want. You are on the path of failure. Success comes from self-control, which means myself under the control of God.
Amen.
Then you are the path of success.
Amen.
Self-control is not self in control. No. Self-control means God controls you. So that you will not follow your own flesh. Amen.
Amen.
That's self-control according to the definition of the Bible. Yield to God. I want to encourage you to set the goal. To say, God, commit to God and say, I don't want just to have salvation. I want to grow more. I want to change. May this lesson, may this teaching become real to me. I want to change. How many people agree with me that we need a new heart? How many people agree that we still have some garbage inside that we need to get rid of? Why don't we stand up together and pray together right now? At the end of the service, I will give time to Pastor Cesar here. But at the end of the service, if you feel that God, I kind of know about God, I come to church, but I never personally invite Jesus to come into my heart, to come inside like that plumber. Today, I want to make that decision. I want to invite Jesus to come in and deal with me and change me. I open my heart now that God can give me a new heart. If you want to do that, you can come to the altar here at the end of the service and we'll pray with you that God will come in. Amen. Why don't you follow my prayer? Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, I have no power in myself to control my flesh, my sinful nature. I admit, Lord, that my heart is not pure. Full of things that grieve you. Oh, Father in heaven, may your spirit, the spirit of Christ, come into my heart and begin to do the work on the inside of me. May the fire of God come in, burn every dross, every wrong thing. Inside me. Do your work, Father. On my heart. In the church. In my car. At home. Anytime, Father. That you can come in. And change my heart. Give me a new spirit. And a new heart. I want to have a loving heart like you. The heart of faith. Happy heart. Joyful heart. Gentle heart. Oh, Father. I surrender to you. I yield to your word. And to your spirit. I want to grow. To become more like Christ. Start in my heart, Lord. This sermon is not for somebody else. It's for me. I want to change. First. Work in my life so that you can work through me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you are those people who say, God, I really, even though you say you think you are Christian, but you say, I'm not really sure now that Christ is in my heart. Today I want to be sure. You can come out here and Pastor Cesar will pray for you, pray with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Come out here. You say, God, or you may say, I have accepted Jesus Christ many years ago, but I feel like far away from Him. I want to renew that relationship with Him again. I want Christ to dwell in my heart and start to work inside me. Come out here too. Come out here. Pastor Cesar, could you come in? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come here. Come to the front here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The rest of the congregation, can you give time to our brother and sister, the pastor, for 10 minutes to pray for these people, honor the Holy Spirit, honor the presence of God here. If you want to sit down, it's okay, just give some time. If you have commitment to go, you can go quietly. But otherwise, just sit there and pray for these people in your heart. Amen. Come and ask God to really help you. Come here. Ask God to come into your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.